Toliau skaitome Mahabharatą ir šiandien skaitysime labai gražų skyrių, kuris vadinasi pirmą dalį, šiandien skaitysim pirmą dalį, 20 skyrių. Ir šitas 20 skyrius vadinasi Draupadi atvilkta į susirinkimo salę. Pirma dalis 20 skyrius. The Pratikamin went quickly to the lady's chambers. Standing before Draupadi, he said in a trembling voice, O queen, maddened by dice, your husband has lost you to Duryodhana. Therefore, come with me to Dhritarashtra's assembly, where you will be engaged in some menial work. Draupadi stood up swiftly and dismissed the maid, who had been tending her hair. Surprised, she said, O Pratikamin, how can this be true? Who would stake his own wife in a gambling match? Surely the king was intoxicated. Could he find nothing else to stake? Tai va čia irgi, kaip Judištyra, kuris super, super buvo dorybinga asmenybė. Super dorybinga asmenybė, galėjo užstatyti savo žmoną. Sako, čia tik tais apsigėręs galėjo tai padaryti. Čia Draupadi pasakė. Čia girtas galėjo tai padaryti. Va, ir vėlgi grįžtam prie to pat momento, kaip aš ir minėjau, kad tai buvo Yoga Majos įtakui. Tai buvo Yoga Majos įtakui. Tai nebuvo Judištyra papuolęs į gunas. Tai buvo Yoga Majos įtakui. Iš kitos pusės, tai atmetant, mes iš čia galim pasimokyti pamoką, kad negalima žaisti azartinį žaidimą. Azartas apdurnina, apakina. When he had already lost his wealth, including his brothers and even himself, he staked you, O blessed princess. Draupadi became angry. Go back to the hall, Pratikamin, and ask that gambler, who has lost even himself, if he was still my lord when I was staked. When I know the answer to this, I shall go with a sorrowful heart. The servant assented to Draupadi's request and returned to the hall. Seeing him return alone, Duryodhana yelled, Where now is the Panchala princess, foolish man? She has sent me back with a question, O king, the Pratikamin replied. Draupadi has asked whose lord Yudhishthira was when he staked her in the game. Did he lose himself first or her? Yudhishthira said nothing. He shook his head from side to side, seeming as if demented or deprived of his reason. Duryodhana smiled slightly. Let Draupadi come here and ask her question directly to Yudhishthira. We shall all hear his reply. The Pratikamin again left the hall. Tears fell from his eyes as he approached Draupadi's room for the second time. He stood before the queen unable to speak. She asked him what Yudhishthira had said in reply. With difficulty, the servant said, O princess, the assembly is summoning you. It seems the destruction of the Kurus is close at hand. When the weak-brained Duryodhana wishes to take you before the assembly, he will surely no longer be able to protect his prosperity. Draupadi looked with compassion upon the distressed servant. He, who is the great ordainer of the world, has ordained this without doubt. Happiness and misery come in turn to both the wise and the unwise. Morality is said, however, to be the higher object in this world. If we preserve morality, it will pour blessings upon us. Let not that morality now abandon the Kurus. Go back, O Sutta, and speak these words to the virtuous Kuru elders. I am ready to obey whatever command those moral-minded men may give, for they are conversant with all the prospects of virtue. Buvo rašoma Mahabharatai Lakšmi ekspansija. Lakšmi ekspansija. Čia, kiek suprantu, čia tikrai jau buvo nedžyva. Jinai kalbėjo išmintingai. The servant folded his palms and bowed his head. He turned and left the queen's chamber and went again to the hall. Standing before Dhritarashtra, he repeated Draupadi's words. No one replied, seeing now Duryodhana's eagerness and Dhritarashtra's complicity. They all sat with downcast faces. Yudhishthira then said to the servant, go to the bitterly weeping Panchali and tell her that she should appear here, even though she is in seclusion and attired in only a single cloth. This is Duryodhana's command. The Pandavas looked up at the Kuru elders, who, even after hearing Yudhishthira's words, all remained silent. Va čia yra momentas, kad Kuru vyresni, jie buvo gūnos. Pandavai buvo yoga majos įtakoj, transcendencijos, transcendentinės energijos įtakoj. Ir atrodo, kad čia visi yra visiškai susimaišę tą masę sėdį. Ne, bet čia yra žaidimas, čia dalyvauja Lakšmi ekspansija, tai yra Draupadi. Ir čia dalyvavos Krishna. The brothers couldn't determine what to do. They were ready to challenge Duryodhana and his 100 brothers to a fight, but seeing Yudhishthira still silent, they didn't move. Bhima, however, could barely contain himself, and Arjun, breathing like a serpent, seemed to be on fire. Duryodhana laughed, enjoying every moment of his victory. He again addressed the Pratikamin. Go, O Sutta, and fetch the princess. She now has Yudhishthira's order. The servant looked perplexed. He was always obedient to Duryodhana, but he feared Draupadi's anger. He spoke hesitantly. What shall I say to the queen for a third time? Duryodhana snorted angrily. He turned to Dushasana. O brother, this foolish servant is afraid of Bhima. Go and bring Draupadi here. What can the Pandavas do now that they have become dependent on our will? Dushasana immediately rose and went straight to Draupadi like a dog entering a lion's den. He said, come, O princess, we have won you honestly. Cast aside your modesty and go before your new master, Duryodhana. O beautiful lady, now you must accept the Kauravas as your lords. Draupadi stood up, weeping loudly. She covered her pale face with her hands and ran toward Gandhara's chambers. Dushasana roared in anger and ran after her. He grabbed hold of her long, wavy hair and forcibly pulled her along with him. As he dragged Draupadi by her bluish locks, the shameless prince recalled how that same hair had been sprinkled with the sanctified water of the Rajasuya. Ignoring her plaintive cries, he pulled her out into the palace passageways. Draupadi spoke to him in a low voice, O rude one, O wretch, you shouldn't take me before the assembly. How can I appear there in my present condition, dressed only in a single cloth? Dushasana laughed. It doesn't matter, Panchali, whether you are attired in one cloth or naked. We have won you, and you must now live among our servant women as best you can. The Kaurava then dragged the wailing Draupadi into the assembly hall. She prayed piteously to Krishna and Arjun. Dushasana threw her before Duryodhana, where she fell with her cloth in disarray and her hair disheveled. The Kuru elders could hardly look at her. Bhishma, Drona, and Vidura were unable to maintain their composure, and they wept openly. Dhritarashtra asked, what is happening now? Is the Panchala princess here? Then Draupadi rose up like a flame and addressed the assembly in an angry voice. All the persons in this assembly are learned in the scriptures and devoted to sacrifice. Some are my elders and gurus. How can I stand before them in this state? The high-souled son of Dharma is bound by the subtle rules of morality. Only those with clear vision can understand those rules. I am therefore unable to admit even an atom of fault in my husband. Draupadi looked toward Dhritarashtra, her eyes filled with tears. By his side he saw Bhishma, Drona and Vidura, their faces torn by anguish. Everyone remained silent as she continued to reprimand them. How do you all say nothing as this wretch drags me into the hall? Surely, then you are all of the same mind. Shame on you. The Kuru's high morality has been destroyed by this act. Drona, Bhishma, Katva, and the king have lost their greatness, for none of them condemn this most vile deed. Draupadi fell to the floor of the hall, crying in helplessness and distress. The slender waisted princess glanced at her enraged husbands. They were incensed to see her in such a state, and her glance inflamed them even more. Even the loss of their kingdom and wealth didn't pain them as much as Draupadi's glance, which was full of modesty and anger. When Dushasana saw Draupadi look at her husbands, however, he again dragged her toward the Kurus. "Slave! Slave!" he shouted. Duryodhana, Karna and Shakuni all applauded Dushasana and laughed along with him. Apart from those three, everyone else in the hall was afflicted with sorrow to see the princess treated in this way. Ir yra įdomiausia, kad sąlygotas sielas, bijodamas prarasti savo poziciją, šlovę, garbę, pripažinimą, jos, nors ten buvo daugiau karališkos giminės atstovų, jie bijojo paprieštarauti, nors jie galėjo paprieštarauti, nes Vedose sakoma, kad tavo vyresnysis yra tol, kol jis tau teisingai duoda nurodymus teisingus, tol, kol jis teisingai elgiasi. Jeigu jis teisingai nebesielgia, tu nesi pareigotas jo klausyti ir galėjo visi tą Dhritarashtrą ir galvą nurauti ir sugėdinti visus tos dronai ir bišmai ir taip toliau. Bet nieks nepadarė. Taip ir šiais laikais parlamentarai bijo prarasti savo kėdės, valdovai bijo prarasti savo kėdės, jie ima kyšius, nežino, neims kyšio, nebus papirktas, jį nušluos, jo šeima gali nuskriausti, jį patį gali nuskriausti. Kaip sakant, valdovas gali būti tik tas, kuris sugeba save paukoti dėl dorybės. Dabartiniai mūsų vadovai negali save saukoti dėl dorybės. Vien dėl to, kad išlaikyti savo postus, pripažinimą, gal šlovę, jie negali apginti dorybės. Nes politikoje ginti dorybę, tai reiškia prarasti postą iš karto. Dėl to daugumas linkčio galvom, daugumas per daug nieko neprieštarauja. Ir pasaulis sukasi, kaip ir sukasi. Toliau. Visi mato, kas vyksta. Bet mažai kas kalba apie tai. Labai mažai kas kalba apie tai. Man labai gerai patiko, vat dabar išleisti yra filmai Jesse Venturos, tai yra, jis buvo 38-as Minnesotos gubernatorius, tai yra labai aukšta padėtis Jungtinės Amerikos valstijos gubernatorius padėtis. Ir ką, jisai pastatė filmas, konspiracijos teorijos filmus ir jis atvirai iškelė rugsėjo 11-os kabutėse teroro akto, reiškia atvejį. Ir jisai meta iššūkius Obamai, meta iššūkius visiems, kodėl kongresas nenagrinėja, kodėl viskas buvo uždaryta, kodėl Obama pasakė, kad neverta tyrinėti priežasčių, nors priežasis akivaizdžius. Viena iš jų tai buvo, kad rasti sprogstamųjų medžiagų, rasta dulkėse. Tai yra šito medžiagų, kurios naudojamos yra armijoje. Iš kurios galėjo ten atsirasti? Galų galė žmogus, pats paskutinis žmogus, kuris paliko pastatą, jisai girdėjo sprogimus virš savo galvos, kaip ten sprogimai būdavo, jie net visi jos virš žemės pakėlė. Dar prieš atsimušant lėktuvui, buvo didžiausi sprogimai. Iškiai buvo darbas, kažkieno darbas, kurie tai žino, ir jis tai kelia. Aišku, jisai dabar nėra vadovas,
Bet jis vis tiek turi reputaciją ir jisai nebijo apsijuoktis, nebijo, kad į jį kažkaip pažiūrės. Ir pasirodo labai daug tokių žmonių, kurie yra žino šitos faktus ir patys abejoja tą oficialią versiją, kad tai buvo kažkokie tai teroristai, būktai, musulmonai, radikalai, kurie pagrobė lėktuvus ten ir patys padarė. Tai trys lėktuvai reiškia. Keturi lėktuvai buvo pakilę ir nei vienas karinių pajėgų lėktuvas nepakilo į orą, nesustabdė tų lėktuvų, kaip yra aukščiausia lygio Vašingtone, ten apsauga, ten iš karto pastebi neužregistruotą lėktuvą ar dar kokį ten pagrobtą, iš karto ten yra įmamasi priemonių. Niekas nepakilo, niekas nesustabdė, nenumušė tų lėktuvų. Kaip bebūtų, esmė tame, kad labai nedaug yra, daug žmonių, kurie užima aukštas pareigas, žino, kas vyksta viduj, bet mažai kas nori pakelti šitos dalykus, nes jie bijo prarasti savo minkštą kėdę, savo komfortą ir bijo nukentėti. Tai kam tada eini tokias pareigas, jeigu tu negali aukoti savęs dėl dorybės? Kšatrio pareiga ir yra net paukoti save, reiškia, mirti mūšio laukia, vardant to, kad apsaugot kitus, kad būtų išlaikoma dorybė, kad kokia dorybė, kad nekaltų žmonių negalima skriausti, jeigu kažkoks priešas puldavo šalį. Kšatrijas visai gindavo savo pavaldinius, savo rizikuodavo grinai savo gyvybę. Tai va, jis dorybę propaguodavo, kad reikia rūpintis kitais, kšatrijas turi rūpintis kitais, tai labai išaukštą padėties. Dabar šitoje susirinkimo salėje niekas nepasirūpino moterį, kuri buvo princesė, imperatoriaus žmona. Niekas. Ją nurenginėjo, jinai buvo tik su vienais drabužiais.
Shaking his head, Bhishma fought back tears and said to Draupadi, O blessed lady, knowing that one who has no wealth of his own cannot take that belonging to others. But knowing also that wives are always at the command of their husbands, I am unable to answer the point you raised. The ways of morality are subtle. Yudhishthira can abandon the whole world full of wealth, but he will never sacrifice morality. The Pandava played with Shakuni even though he knew that no one could defeat him at dice. He has staked at last both himself and you, O princess. Therefore I am confused upon this matter.
Pats Bhishma nesuprato, kodėl Yudhishthira, žinodamas, kad Šakūniui praloš, pradėjo lošti. Tai yra Yogamajos įtaka buvo. Čia lygiai taip pat, kaip Yashoda pasisodino Krishna ant kelių, pažiūrėjo burną ir pamatė visą visatą ir kartu toj visatoj save sėdinčią. Bet to pagalvojo, kas čia? Puh. Nesuprato vis tiek, kad tai yra aukščiausias dievas mojnai, buvo tėviškose santykiuose ir Yogamaja ją apgaubė. Jis pradžioje dar galvojo, kad čia kažkoks ypatingas vaikas, po to vėl grįžo. Taigi čia mano sūnus. Ai, ką mačiau, čia tą mačiau. Čia mano sūnus. Taip Yogamaja veikia. Neleidžia susivokti. Gali tokius visiškai taip įtakoti tą sielą, kad ta siela visiškai bus... Gali padaryti pačius iš šono atrodančius kvailiausius dalykus. Bet tai Krišno žaidimai. Krišna elgėsi savo tyrais baktais, taip jis gali tai pasielgti. Nes jis žino, kad tyri baktai sutinka. Jeigu Krišna nori to, jie sutinka.
Bhishma looked up at Dhritarashtra, but the king remained ever silent. Draupadi spoke again. Yudhishthira was summoned to this assembly by the king. And although he doesn't possess skill at dice, he was made to play with a skillful, wicked and deceitful gambler. How then can he be said to have staked anything voluntarily? He has been deprived of his senses by the contrivances of sinful man acting together. This act lacks all propriety and will be condemned by all wise men. Here in this hall are many leaders of the Bharata race. Let them reflect on my words and answer my question. Dushasana began to harshly insult Draupadi. She wept grievously and looked toward her helpless husbands. Bhima was afflicted beyond all endurance. Finally, giving vent to his anger, he said to Yudhishthira, Gamblers have in their houses many loose women, but they never stake even those women at dice. They always remain kind toward them. You have staked all and lost all of your gems. Jewels, gold, armors, animals, weapons, and whatever other wealth we possessed, including our very selves. Even at this, my anger was not excited. But I consider your gambling with Draupadi abominable. Having obtained us as her husbands, this innocent girl doesn't deserve to suffer in this way. Only because of you is she now being persecuted by these low, despicable, cruel, and mean-minded Kurus. Although you are my lord, I can hardly control my anger towards you. Vis tiek Draupadi ryški. Va, tai čia be abejo visiškai ryškia visiškai suprantamas dalykas yra, kad Judištira buvo Jogamai, nes jis ant tiek laikėsi darybės, negalėjo tai pasielgti, buvo tikrai užleista iliuzija. Mes skaitėm visus skyrius, Judištira buvo super darybingas, super laikėsi religijos normų. Bhima turned his massive shoulders toward twins. I shall burn Yudhishthira's hands, so Sahadeva bring fire. Arjuna quickly caught hold of his brother. O Bhima, don't speak in this way. You have never uttered such words before. Your morality has certainly been destroyed by these cruel foes. Don't fulfill our enemy's wishes. Practice the highest virtue and remain obedient to your elder brother. Remembering a Kshatriya's duties, he has played today only on the king's command and against his own desire. Such an act will surely make him famous. Nu jo, kšatrio pareiga jo yra klausyti vyresniųjų. Bet jeigu vyresnysis, taip, tame nieko nebuvo blogo. Jisai galėjo, tikrai laikė Dhritarashtrą savo vyresniojo, viską, ko Dhritarashtrą paprašydavo, Yudhishthirą išpildyti. Bet yra vienas momentas, kad jis neprivalėjo pildyti to noro, kuris buvo nuodėmingas. Jis neprivalėjo žaisti, kadangi Šakūnis Duryodhana nusižengė taisyklį. Jis neprivalėjo, jis galėjo žaisti. Jis neprivalėjo žaisti, jeigu buvo nusižengiama taisyklį. Bhima calmed himself, checked by Arjuna's reproach, he felt ashen. You are right, O Dhananjaya. Our brother has surely acted in accordance with duty. Had I not known this, I would long ago have snatched his arms and burned them in a blazing fire. Both brothers looked at Yudhishthira in his distress. They knew he felt obliged to the presence of Dhritarashtra and Bhishma, by the presence. Yet those two elders didn't speak out against what was happening. Then Yudhishthira wouldn't object to the proceedings. Duryodhana's hearty laughter rang out again. He was relishing his cousin's discomfort. He was especially enjoying Draupadi's distress, remembering how she had laughed at him in the Maya Shabha. Tai kaip pavydas duoda skonį, iš tikrųjų, kad kerštas duoda skonį, bet tik trumpam. Po to ateina reakcijos. Draupadi buried her head in her hands and wept. Her husband glared furiously at the insolent Duryodhana, but still the Kuru elders remained silent. Jis neprivalėjo klausyti Kuraldi. Jie buvo visi Jogamajos įtakai. Finally, Dhritarashtra sent Vikarna spoke out. O kings, answer Draupadi's question. If we don't decide a matter referred to us in the royal assembly, then we shall descend into hell. Dhritarashtra, Bhishma, Vidura, you are the eldest of the Kurus, yet you don't say anything. Why are Drona and Kripa silent? Let the kings who have assembled here from all directions leave aside their anger and give Draupadi a reply. Vikarna looked around the assembly, but still no one spoke. He repeatedly asked that Draupadi's question be answered. Had she been one or not? Was she now the Kaurava's slave? The silence in the great hall was broken only by Draupadi's sobs. After another agonizing minute had passed, Vikarna said, if no one will respond, then I shall say what I consider just and proper. O best of man, it is said that there are four vices to which kings are prone: hunting, drinking, womanizing, and gambling. Na, šitą reikia pasižymėti man. Yra keturias, nu, reiškia, įdas, į kurias linkia karaliai. Medžiojimas, gėrimas, moteris ir azartas. The man addicted to these vices lives by forsaking virtue. Therefore, that which is performed by one under the sway of any of these sins cannot be taken seriously. Madly under the influence of gambling and argued on by the sinful Shakuni, Yudhishthira staked this princess. She belongs to all the Pandavas and was lost after Yudhishthira had already lost himself. Nor was Yudhishthira playing the game willingly. Rather, the king invited him there to oblige him to play an unfair match. Considering all this, I say that Draupadi has not been won. As Vikarna sat down, the assembly was in an uproar. Practically, everyone applauded him and censored Shakuni. Nu va, išgelbėjo. Karna at once leaped up and waved his huge arms about to silence the assembly. His angry voice boomed. O Vikarna, I have observed many improper things in this assembly, and your words are an example of one of them. Like fire springing from a log, your anger will simply consume you. All the great personalities among the Kurus are silent. Obviously, this means they consider Drupada's total fairly won. You are immature, therefore you rail in anger, even though you don't know the laws of morality and speak like a fool. Yudhishthira has staked her as a fair bet and lost her. Karna, like Duryodhana, still remembered his humiliation when Drupadi refused to allow him to compete in her Svayamvara. Karna ir Duryodhana. The pain of that refusal still rankled. Well, he thought, the proud princess is now getting what she deserves. He turned to the assembly and argued that there was no sin in bringing Draupadi into the hall in her present state. After all, she had already accepted five husbands. What kind of moral woman she was? In his opinion, she was unchaste. He pointed to Draupadi as he spoke. For such a woman, there is nothing wrong, even if she is brought naked into an assembly. Indeed, she now belongs to the Kauravas and must obey our commands. O Dushasana, why not take off her robes and remove also the Pandavas' royal dress too? They are no longer kings. Bound by morality, the Pandavas slowly removed their upper garments and threw them down. They sat silently as Dushasana approached the wailing Draupadi. The Kaurava took hold of the end of her cloth and pulled on it forcefully. Draupadi held her sari tightly in an attempt to protect herself, but it was useless. Her strength was nothing compared to Dushasana's. She looked again at her five husbands. It was obvious that they couldn't help her. As Dushasana pulled harder, she looked around the hall like a frightened deer assailed by a lion. There was only one person now who could save her, Krishna. The Supreme Personality saw everything and was always her shelter. Draupadi fixed her mind on Krishna, threw up her hands and cried, O Govinda, O Keshava, O beloved of the Gopis and Lord of Vrindavana, O Janardana, you are the destroyer of all affliction. I am sinking into the Kuru ocean. O Lord, O soul of the universe, O creator of the world, save me who am distressed and losing my senses in this evil assembly. From where he was seated in Dvaraka, Krishna heard Rupadi's specious cries. He expanded himself by his inconceivable power and went swiftly to Hastinapura. By his mystic potency, he immediately entered the assembly hall. Without being seen by anyone, he provided Draupadi with an unlimited supply of cloth to cover her. Dushasana pulled and pulled at her sari, and as he did so, the princess spun around. but he couldn't disrobe her. There seemed to be no end to her sari. The astonished prince pulled with even more strength, but Draupadi remained covered. Soon a large heap of cloth lay piled on the floor. Seeing this wonderful event, all the kings praised Draupadi and censured the Dushasana. The prince was exhausted from his futile attempt to undress the Pandava's wife. He sat down, perspiring heavily. Bhima leaped up and raised his arms. O kings of the world, he thundered, listen to my words. I shall now make a vow unlike any that has been made before, nor shall such a vow be made in future. If I don't forcefully tear open the breast of the sinful wretch on the battlefield and drink his blood, then may I not obtain the path of my ancestors. Oho! Jeigu jisai nesuplėšys krūtinės ir neišgers kraujo, tai jisai neis savo protėvių keliu, neis, kaip sako, į paskui juos. Tai va dabar iš šito labai daug galim suprasti, kad Krišna girdi, kai mes prašom pagalbas. Ir Krišna gali ateiti iš bet kur, iš dvaro, kas gali apsireikšti Astinapur, jis gali būti nematomas, jis gali... Saris yra jo sudarytas iš šilko. Šilkas yra sudarytas iš 5 materialių energijų. Tai yra žemės, vandens, ugnies, oro eterio. O jis yra šitų energijų šaltinis. Jis gali generuoti to sario, kiek tik tai sinori. Ir Draupadi pradžiai laikėsi iš sario ir meditavo į Krišną. O čia yra labai įdomus momentas. Po to pakėlė vieną ranką, o po to pakėlė dvi rankas. Ir kai jis pilnai atsidavė, Krišna tada jai padėjo. Taip ir mes, tol, kol mes dar galvojam, kad patys susitvarkysim su savo problemu. Kai mus anarchos, kai mus įdos grobia mūsų dvasinius turtus, mūsų skaistą grobia. Pavyzdžiui, geismas priverčia mus naužyti 4 principą. Ir mes galvojam, kad mes laikysimės patys čia viską, sukontroliuosim tą geismą, dar kažką. Ir jis toliau vagė mūsų vidų, mes negalim jos sukontroliuoti, bet kai mes tikrai atiduodam tą geismą, pasijim, sako, atiduodam Krišną, geismas yra tavo energija, aš atiduodu, aš nebenoriu su juo būti, aš nebenoriu, aš pats nieko negaliu padaryti, prašau, tu padaryk, kad atsiduodam, tiesiog nuo širdžiai atsiduodam, kaip vaikas tėvui, ai Krišna išgelbėja mistišku būdu, yra labai daug istorijų, kada atsiduodant Krišna išgelbė. Vat vieną istoriją, tarp kitko, jie pasakoja paprasčiausiai baktukas, brahmačiaris, kai jisai platino knygas, užėjo į vieną laiptinę daugiau aukščio ir pasitaikė ant tokių truputėlį pagėrusių vyrukų. Ir jie atidarė duris, ir jis buvo su dhočiu, buvo su kepurė, ir toks veidas truputėlį vaikiškas, ir visi pagalvojo, kad čia mergina. Pradėjo jo klausinėti, koks tavo vardas, kaip ką, pradėjo truputėlį, kaip ir norėjo pakadrinti, nu ir paflirtuoti. Po to kitas atėjo ir sako, klausyk, juk čia vaikinas, čia bahūras, čia ne mergina. Jis pasižiūrėjo, nu jo, sako, tiksliai, čia brat, čia bahūras. Ir sako, davai, neškit kamerą. Išėjo pro duris, reiškia, apstoja jį. Ir ką norėjo? Nu ką, jį norėjo mušti ir filmuoti. Po to padėti turbūt į kokią YouTube įdėti, kad pasijuoktų kiti. Nes tai dabar yra populiaru. Kitas kriaust, filmuoti, dėti video, kitiem rodyti. Pasityčiot norėjo ir nufilmuoti. Bet prieš tai paklausė, nu, tai kaip tavo vardas, sako, kaip tavo vardas. Ir jisai sako, Krišna Čaitanija. Ir jisai pasakė, to žodžius ištarė, reiškia, ištarė labai švarėjai. Tuose žodžiuose buvo pats Krišna. Ir staigiai viskas mistiniu būdu pasikeitė. Jis susižvalgė, pradėjo vėl kažko klausinėti ir jį paleido. Jį paleido. Tai buvo taip mistiškai iš tikrųjų. Ištar du žodžiai, bet taip nuo širdžiai.
Mane tai, kad jis ten būtų maskatavęs, jis ten grasinės, ar ten, jeigu jūs man padarysit, aš jums užsamdysiu policiją dar. Ne, tiesiog Krišna Čitanė pasakė. Ir viskas. Tai va, Krišna apgynė. Tai va, dabar nereikia sumaišyti to momento, kad kai mes laikomės už to sario, kad mūsų nenuvilktų. Nenuskriausiu, tai nereiškia, kad mes pastangų netidam. Ne, mes dedam pastangas. Bet jeigu mes dedam pastangas ir matom, kad mūsų pastangos, nu, nieko neduoda, mes stengiamės ir nieko nevyksta, tada reikia tiesiog atsiduoti ir palikti Krišnos valiai. Ir Krišnas sutvarko taip, kaip geriausia yra. Šiuo atveju jisai, kai Draupadi atsidavė, jisai sutvarkė taip, kad jos saris taptų begalinis. Bet kartais gali atsitikti taip, kad tave tikrai gali nurengti. Bet po to vis tiek viskas išeisi gera. Asmeniai, kad ir ką tu be padarytum, vis tiek tave gali nurengti. Šiuo atveju Krišna pasirinko taip, kad jis apsaugo, bet gali jis pasirinkti ir taip, kad neapsaugos. Tai tas momentas atsidavimo yra labai svarbus. Laikytis už sario, nu kaip reikia apsaugot, bet jeigu tu matai, kad nieko nebegali padaryti, ką tu bedarai, viskas kaip į sieną. Tiesiog meldiesi Dievui, vat kaip buvo viena pasakojo moteris istorija, kada jinai sirgdama vėžiu prabandė 40 gydymosi būdų. 40, susidom, 40 terapijų įvairiausių. Niekas nepadėjo, jinai ką pradėjo? Pradėjo melstis. Jis pamatė, kad aš nekontroliuoju. Jis pradėjo melstis, labai daug meldėsi, skaitė Bibliją ir taip toliau. Jis po to pradėjo sveikti, pasveiko. Tai nereiškia, kad mes neturim bandyti spręsti situacijos, mes turim bandyti spręsti situaciją. Bet bandydami spręsti situaciją, mes turim suvokti, kad galų gale Krišna viską lems. Vien tai, kad aš laikau sarį, nereiškia, kad man jo nenutrauks. Bet jeigu aš laikau sarį ir pasitikiu pilnai Krišną, jo tikrai gali nenutraukti. Bet kai pasitikiu pilnai Krišną, tada ir to sario gali nelaikyti. Tiesiog Krišna savo jėga viską ištaiso. Visą išsprendžia. Dėl to reikia mums stengtis. Bet, reiškia, čia toks yra tas momentas, kai tu stengiasi ir tu galvoji, kad dėl to, kad tu stengiasi, vat tu užtikrinsi, kad to nebūtų blogio. Ir tai yra neteisybė. Bet kada tu stengiasi ir tu pilnai suvoki, kad aš tiesiog turiu daryti tai, ką aš turiu daryti. Krišna vis tiek lems rezultatą, ar aš laikysiu sarį, tai nereiškia, kad jo nenutrauks. O jeigu aš nelaikysiu sario, tai irgi nereiškia, kad jo nenutrauks. Protas sako, jeigu aš laikausiu sario, tai jo tikrai nenutrauks, bet jeigu aš paleisiu, jį tikrai nuvilks. Bet tokie dėsniai negalioja. Mes turim daryti tai, ką mes galim. Jeigu matom, kad tai, ką darom, nepadeda, mes tiesiog darom kažką kito, jeigu nieks nepapadeda, tiesiog meldžiamės. Bet yra didelė klaida laikyti sarį ir galvoti vien dėl to, kad aš laikau, nieks man nenuvilks to sario. Ir yra teisinga, kada tu laikai sarį, kad tau nevilktų ir tuo pačiu metu supranti, kad nors aš ir laikau, tai nereiškia, kad man jo nenuvilks. Gali jį nuvilkti. O tas momentas labai septulis dalykėlis.
Hearing Bhima's terrible words, the kings applauded him and again censored Dushasana. A clamor arose, shouts of shame, shame filled the hall. Vidura once more brought silence to the hall. He turned to Dhritarashtra and Bhishma, O learned man, you don't answer Draupadi's question, and thus in this assembly we persecute religion. A distressed person comes to an assembly of good men, like a man feeling the heat of a blazing fire. The assembly should extinguish his fire and cool him with his truth and morality. The distressed man asks about his rights according to morality, and he is entitled to an answer. O King, Vikarna has offered one answer to Draupadi's question according to his own knowledge and judgment. Now you should also reply. Bhishma, Drona, and Kripa looked expectantly at Dhritarashtra. They were unable to tolerate any more from Duryodhana. Still the blind king maintained his silence. Vidura continued, One who knows the rules of morality yet sits in an assembly without properly answering a question receives a sinful reaction. Listen as I recount the ancient history of Prahlada and the son of a rishi named Angirasha. Vidura described how Prahlada's son, Virochana, had once quarreled with a rishi named Sudanva for the sake of a bride. They had both gone to Prahlada and asked, "Which of us is superior? Answer us truthfully." Prahlada looked at both of them but said nothing. Sudanva became angry and said, "If you don't answer, or if you answer falsely, then your head will break into 100 pieces. Trembling with fear, Prahlada then consulted the celestial sage Kashyapa. "O exalted one, tell me what regions are obtained by one who, being asked a question, doesn't reply or answer falsely." Kashyapa said, "He who knows but doesn't answer out of temptation, anger, or fear is bound by Varuna's 1,000 noses. He who is called as witness but who speaks falsely is similarly punished." After one full year, one of the noses is loosened. Therefore, one should speak the truth as he knows it. Matai, kaip įdomiai. Su varūnas virvėm yra supančiamas žmogus. Bet kuris yra supančiamas ir turbūt kankinamas, neduodama gal gerti. Therefore, one should speak the truth as he knows it. If virtue, pierced by sin, goes to an assembly, it is the duty of every man there to remove the dart. If they fail to do so, then they will be pierced by that same dart. In an assembly where a censurable act is not rebuked, every member of that assembly is afflicted by sin. Grief will overcome them all in due course. After hearing Kashyapa's words, Prahlada said to his son, "Sudanva is undoubtedly your superior, as much as his father Angirasha is mine." Sudanva immediately blessed Prahlada. "As you have spoken the truth without being moved by affection for your son, may he live for 100 years. Vidura concluded, "Hearing this great instruction about religion, let all those present deliberate on what should be done. Draupadi should be given an answer." Still there was silence in the hall. Įsivaizduokim, kiek dar tą raštą iki šlikštumo buvo prisirišęs prie to savo durioną. Seeing the core elders saying nothing, and considering this tacit approval of her condition, Karna spoke to Dushasana, "Take the servant woman to the inner apartments." Dushasana again grabbed Drupadi's hair and began to drag the helpless princess, who was trembling and crying piteously, to her husband's. Pulling herself free from his grasp, she addressed the assembly in tearful words, "Wait a little, O worst of men. I have not as yet offered my respects to my superiors. Forgive me. It was not my fault, as I was forcibly dragged here by this low wretch, this disgrace of the Kurus. The morality of the Kuru house has been lost forever today. Never before have we heard of a married woman being brought in this state before an assembly. She, who was never before seen even by the wind or the sun, has now been exposed before all men. Indeed, I am being publicly persecuted by a wicked man." Dhritarashtra listened with his head bowed as she went on. "What could be more distressing for me than that? Although I am a high-born and chaste, the Pandava's wife and Krishna's friend, I am nevertheless dragged into the assembly. Where is the religion of all these kings? O Kauravas, answer me truthfully. Am I Dharmaraja's lawful wife, born in the same order to which he belongs, to be considered a servant woman or not? I shall be obedient to your command. O Kurus, this despicable destroyer of Kuru fame is cruelly dragging me. I cannot tolerate it any longer. Tell me what I should do, and I will happily obey you." Bhishma shed tears as Draupadi spoke. He looked at her with compassion and said, "O blessed lady, I have said that the ways of religion are subtle. Even wise men find it hard to understand them. Sometimes what a great and powerful man calls religion is accepted as such, even though it may not normally be so. What a weak man says, no matter how moral it may seem, is generally disregarded. From the importance of the matter you have raised, its intricacy and subtlety, I find myself unable to answer you.
Reiškia, vis tiek diplomatiją naudoja Bhishma. Nenuoširdus.
Bhishma stopped and looked around at the silent assembly. Turning back to Draupadi, he continued, It is certain that as the Kurus have become slaves of greed and folly, our race will soon be destroyed. O Panchali, that even under today's circumstances, you would turn to religion shows how worthy you are and adds glory to our house. Your husbands are equally praiseworthy. They don't deviate from virtue in such difficulty. The Kauravas, however, sit with downcast faces. They look as if they are dead. I don't think they are going to answer you. You should ask your question of Yudhishthir. He alone should say whether or not you have been won. Draupadi wept like a female osprey. Still the kings remained silent. They appeared to be afraid of Duryodhana's power. The Kaurava prince continued to smile even after hearing Bhishma's words. Rising, he said to Draupadi, O Panchali, I agree with Bhishma. The answer to your question depends upon your husband. Let the illustrious Yudhishthira, resembling Indra himself and ever devoted to virtue, state whether or not he acted rightly. If he declares himself to have gambled you away falsely, because he was no longer your lord at the time, I shall free you. I will also free his brothers if he makes the same declaration about them. Let Yudhishthira tell us first, however, that he lost his discrimination. After Yudhishthira has spoken, O thin-waisted lady, then you should accept either ourselves or the Pandavas as your lords. All the Kurus here are floating in the sea of your affliction. They are naturally magnanimous, therefore looking at your unfortunate husbands, they are unable to answer your question. Again the assembly erupted. Many kings applauded Duryodhana's words. Others cried out, Alas and oh! But each now turned to look at Yudhishthira, eager to hear what he would reply. As the hum of voices gradually died down, Bhima stood suddenly. His voice filled the hall. If the high-souled Dharmaraja were not our lord and guru, then we wouldn't pardon the Kuru race. But he is the lord of all our religious and ascetic merits. Indeed, he is the lord of all our lives. If he considers us one, then we are one. If it were not so, then who is there among mortal creatures on this earth who could escape with their life after touching the hair of the Panchala princess? Look at my two arms. They are maces of steel. Having come within their grasp, who could escape? Not even Indra himself. Bound by the ties of virtue and by the reverence due to our elder brother, and because I am being repeatedly urged by Arjuna to remain silent, I do nothing. If but once commanded by Yudhishthira, I would, by means of my slaps alone, kill Dhritarashtra's sinful sons as a lion kills a flock of small animals. Hearing Bhima speak, Bhishma, Drona and Vidura said with alarm, Be peaceful, O Bhima. Anything is possible for you. Karna then jumped up from his seat. It seems that Katva, Bhishma and Drona are independent, he exclaimed, his face red with anger. They always censure their master and never wish for his prosperity. I shall say what is right in this case. The slave, the son and the wife are always dependent. Whatever they possess belongs to their master. O Draupadi, you are the wife or the slave who is now incapable of possessing anything of his own. Go then to the king's inner quarters and serve his relatives. Select another husband who will not lose you at gambling. Your husbands are all slaves and cannot be your masters any longer. Obviously, Yudhishthira considers that life and manhood are useless, as he has offered Draupada's daughter as a stake in the presence of his assembly. Bhima glowered at Karna. Breathing heavily, it seemed he was about to leap forward at any moment.
Iškia, labai įdomu, ir iškia irgi, keturi pantavai, broliai, jie neprivalėjo klausyti Yudhishthiros, nors Bhima pastovė ir Arjuna laikėsi, dėl to, kad Yudhishthira buvo jų guru, jų vyriausias brolis, ir visą laiką jis buvo pats darybingiausias. ir jie nekariavo. Bet tai irgi buvo neteisinga, tai irgi buvo jogamajos įtaka. Nereikia, jeigu mūsų broliai ar ten vyresniai nusišneka, kažką neteisybę daro, reikia daryti taip, kaip šastros daro, kaip šastros patarė, nebūtina klausyti. Krišna tą patį sako, nurodo Ardžunai, Kurukšetros mūšio laukia, kad kaukis Ardžuna, dėl to, kad tas pats drona, krypa ir visa kita, jie yra bedėvystės pusėje, kaukis. Still he remained obedient to Yudhishthira, bound by virtue he did nothing. Looking around as if to burn everything with his blazing eyes, he turned to Yudhishthira and said, My lord, I cannot become angry at the words of the Suta's son, since we are now slaves. O king, could our enemies ever have spoken in this way in my presence, if you hadn't staked this princess? Yudhishthira sat silently stunned. Duryodhana laughed and said, Come, O king, tell us the truth. Is Draupadi one or not? Reveling in his cousin's anguish, Duryodhana smiled at Karna. To further insult and incite Bhima, the Kaurava prince then uncovered his right thigh, which resembled the trunk of an elephant, and showed it to Draupadi. Sit here upon the lap of your new lord, O princess. What have you to do with the Pandavas now? Bhima couldn't take no more. He exploded. Hear this, you wretch. If I don't break that tie in battle, then let me not attain the regions of my ancestors. Na, reiškia, Bhima duoda įžadus ir jis juos išpildys. Fire was emanating from every part of Bhima's body and he spoke, and his heavy chest rose and fell like the ocean. Vidura jumped up and addressed the assembly. O kings, observe the danger we are now in from Bhima. A calamity threatens to overtake our race. This has been sent by destiny. Dhritarashtra's sons have gambled deceitfully. Now they are quarreling over a woman. This kingdom's prosperity is at an end. Alas, the Kuru have given way to inquiety. This entire assembly is now polluted by sin. O kings, take to heart the precept I shall declare. Having first lost himself, Yudhishthira was unable to lose Panchali. She cannot be considered a slave. Duryodhana looked at the agonized Pandavas. I am willing to abide by the decision of Bhima, Arjuna and the twins. Let them declare that Yudhishthira is no longer their master, and I will free Draupadi. Na tai demonai visai išbando, kad tik tais atsisakytų darybės. Kiti, Arjuna retorted, Yudhishthira was certainly our lord and master before he began to play. Having lost himself, let the Kuras decide whose master he is now. As Arjuna spoke, a jackal suddenly cried out in Dhritarashtra's nearby sacrificial chamber. Asses brayed in response, and fearful birds cried in all quarters of the sky. Seized by anxiety, Bhishma and Drona cried out, All peace! Vidura urged the king to do something before total disaster overtook them. Dhritarashtra at last accepted that things had gone too far. He had remained silent long enough. Raising his hand, he silenced the assembly which was in chaos because of the evil omens. The blind king said, O wicked-minded Duryodhana! O wretch, you are already as good as dead now that you have insulted a wife of the Kuru chiefs in this way, especially the Pandava's wife Draupadi. Oh, Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana subari. Dhritarashtra knew that they now faced grave danger. If he didn't appease the Pandavas, then united with the invincible Krishna, they would wreak a terrible vengeance upon the Kauravas. The king attempted to console Draupadi. O Panchali, please ask from me any favor you may desire. Chaste and always devoted to virtue, you are the foremost of all my daughters-in-law. Draupadi looked up at Dhritarashtra, who had said nothing while she was being persecuted. She knew he had relented only out of fear. Still, this was her opportunity to rectify the situation.
She bowed before the king and said, O best of the Bhartaris, if you desire to do me a good, then let Yudhishthira be freed from slavery. He is the father of my son, Prativindya. Let not people speak of that boy, born and raised as a royal prince, as if he were the son of a slave. Dhritarashtra replied, O blessed girl, it shall be so. Ask for another favor. I am not satisfied by giving you only one boon. Then also free Bhima, Arjuna and the twins, along with their chariots and weapons. Dhritarashtra again granted the favor without hesitation. Then he asked Draupadi to request a third boon. This time the princess said, O king, greed destroys virtue. I dare not ask a third favor. Indeed, the scriptures ordain that a Kshatriya woman may ask no more than two boons. My husband, being freed from slavery, will be able to obtain prosperity by their own virtuous acts. Вот, вот čia tai, kaip sako, lygis. Galėjo jinai paprašyti visą to, kas buvo pralaimėta, ir būtų dar raštą suteikęs tą palaimį. Karna broke out laughing. Just see how these great heroes have been saved by a woman. When they were sinking in a boatless ocean of distress, this beautiful princess became the boat of their salvation. I have never heard of such a thing before today. Škia, pažemina. Moteris išgelbėjo savo vyrus. Herojus, paprasčiausia moteris. Bhima flirt, but again Arjuna checked him. Desist, brother, great men never care for the harsh words uttered by inferior men. Even if able to retaliate, they don't take seriously acts of hostility, preferring instead to remember even a little good that their enemies may have done them. Bhima was hardly pacified by Arjuna's words. He spoke in a low voice to Yudhishthira. I shall at once kill all these foes. What need is there for further discussion? O Lord, you may then rule the earth without a rival. Bhima repeatedly cast angry glances at the Kauravas, even as a lion looks at a herd of small animals. Arjuna restrained him with appealing looks, placing his hand on his brother's heaving shoulder. Smoke, sparks, and flames issued from Bhima's ears, mouth, and nostrils as he fought to restrain himself. Fiziškai, ne? Dūmai, žiežirbos ir ugnis. Liepsnas. Išėjo iš Bhimos ausų. Burnos ir nosis. With his furrowed brows and red eyes, he appeared like Yamaraja at the time of universal destruction. Yudhishthira embraced him and said, Be peaceful, brother. He then turned to Dhritarashtra. O king, you are our lord. Command us what we shall do now. Dhritarashtra replied, Go in peace, Ajata Shatru. You are full of humility and you wait upon your elders. Therefore, you are wise. Those who are wise don't remember an enemy's hostility. Instead, they see only the good in them. Only the worst of men use harsh words in a quarrel, while superior men don't react when provoked. Knowing their own feelings, they can understand the feelings of others. Therefore, they always act with compassion, even toward their enemies.
Geras. Kad patyrę patys, reiškia, pykti ir skausmą, jie gali geriau suprasti kitų skausmą. Aplamai, čia yra labai geras momentas, kad jeigu koks nors žemesnės sąmonės lygio žmogus tave žydinėja ar tau kenkia, ar ką, nereikia jam keršyti, nereikia nusileisti jo lygį. Geriau išvelgti kažkokius taip geras savybės jame. Dhritarashtra then begged Yudhishthira to forget Duryodhana's harshness and to try instead to remember whatever kindness the king and his wife Gandhari had shown him. He told Yudhishthira that he had allowed the gambling match in order to examine the strengths and weakness of his children and the Pandavas. The king concluded, In you, O Yudhishthira, is virtue, in Bhima, prowess, in Arjuna, patience, and in the twins there is pure reverence for and service towards superiors. Čia labai geras dalykas. Čia tikrai labai gražiai. Matai, kšatrija buvo geri psichologai, matydavo stiprias ir silpnas pusės. Kad žino, buvo kantrus, byva buvo kilnus. Jis įdavė įžadus. O dvinukai jauniausiai buvo labai pagarbus savo vyresnėm. Go then, all of you, and live in peace. Return to your own kingdom. Let there be brotherly love between yourselves and my sons. Be ever fixed in virtue. The Pandavas bowed before the king and then left. They ascended their chariots with Draupadi and started to point Draprasa. The assembly broke up and all the kings retired to the palatial mansions provided for them by Dhritarashtra. As they left the hall, some of them praised the Dhishtira and others Duryodhana. The blind king was led away by Vidura. As he recalled the heinous wrong committed by his sons toward the Pandavas, and especially toward their wife, he became gripped by fear. Giving them their property could hardly repair the damage that was done by the insult to Draupadi. Bhima would certainly never forget his vows, and at the first opportunity would doubtless take his revenge. Sighing, the Kuru monarch entered his chambers and began his evening prayers. Nu va, čia yra tikrai ilgas skyrius buvo. Ir labai daug pamokų galima buvo išmokti šitos skyriaus. Man tai net įdomu, va dabar net, kaip sakyt, matyt, kaip Dhritarashtra iš tikrųjų, jisai vis tiek buvo prašiausias diplomatas ir niekas daugiau. Ir jis iš baimės, matydamas, kad tikrai bus šakės. Kad tikrai bus blogai. Tikrai bus blogai, reiškia. Jeigu jau su Pandavais susipyks, jis pagalvojo, aha, Pandavais susidės su Krišna, mums galbūt. Jisai prabilo. Bet jis vidui buvo patenkintas, kad Duryodhana viską išlošė ir Draupadę gavo. Dėl to čia yra baisus tas prisirišimas, aklas prisirišimas prie savo artimųjų, jisai gali sugriauti visą imperiją. Pasikliovimas savo sentimentais kaip teisingiausių dalykų gali sugriauti viską. Dėl to karalių iš tikrųjų yra būt labai atsakingas reikalas. Jeigu tu gali savo gyvybę aukoti dėl darybės, tada tu gali būti karalių. Jeigu negali, tu negali būti karalių. Ir pagalvokime, nors vienas dabar planetoje karalius, prezidentas, parlamentaras turi tokį lygį. Nei vienas turbūt neturi. Gal kažkas ir turi, nežinau, bet nei vienas. Jie negalės valdyti, o kaip visi tie karaliai, kurie buvo sukviesti iš gretimų karališčių, žiūrėti, kaip bus žaidžiama, jie negalėjo nieko pasakyti. Negaliu nieko padaryti. Tu tarpu matė, kad baisi nuodėmė darom. Jeigu vieniniais laikais tokie karaliai nieko negaliu padaryti, tai ką gali padaryti mūsų parlamentarai, politikai, kai mato, kad kažkoks tai nuodėmingas projektas yra prastumimas, arba kai jiems grasinama, arba kai jiems duodamas kyšis. Ką jie gali padaryti? Dažniausiai nieko. Bijo prarasti savo poziciją, geriau nuleis galvą, viską pro akis praleis, bet kad išlaikyti savo šlovę, pripažinimą, gerą algą tūkstantinę, užmokesti už mobilį, užmokesti už benziną, gerus apartamentus, kuriuos gauna, taip toliau. Ir mes matom, kad va šita liga, šita problema, kšatrių sluoksniai buvo ir buvo, ir bus, tol, kol jie yra dvasiškai nepažengę, tol visas šitas reikalas ir bus. Tai va, tai ir aišku, po to bus matysi Kali Yuga, kada prasidėjo, kada brahmanai pradėjo degraduoti. Kada brahmanai pradėjo degraduoti ir kšatriai degradavo, bet skaitosi Kali Yuga prasidėjo, kai brahmanai pradėjo degraduoti. Kada brahmano sūnus prakeikė, man atrodo, Parikšitą prakeikė, Maharadžą Parikšitą. Nesulaikė savo pykčio. Šiame Bhagavatam buvo paminėta, kad tada prasidėjo Kali Yuga. Tai va, tos istorijos iš tikrųjų mes kasdieną galim matyti savyje, kada tėvai bijo kažką pasakyti savo vaikam, vien dėl to, kad bijo prarasti tų vaikų prilankumą jiems. Tas prilankumas yra ant egoistinio pagrindo. Jeigu tu užsidirbi savo sūnaus prilankumą ar dukros pataikaudamas jam, tai niekados nebus santykių. Visą laiką jie prašys iš tavęs vis daugiau ir daugiau ir tu nusileidi į jų lygį. Tu darai nuodėmę. Ir jie po to liks nepatenkinti, kad tėvas ar motina neišauklė. Jie paklauso mūsų norų diktatui. Ir šita labai yra svarbi pamoka, kad dvi pamokos. Pirma yra, kad nepataikaut savo artimiesiems, prie kurių prisiriši, nebijot pasakyti tiesą, kada reikia pasakyti. Ir antras dalykas, nebijot paukot savo prestižų, šlovės ir kitų dalykų dėl dorybės apginimo. Būna dažnai situacijos, kada, pavyzdžiui, prie stalo yra apkalbinėjami, nu, vat, kolektyvas, kolegos darbe apkalbinėja kažką kitą. Ir jiems sunku, bijosi pasakyti, kad neapkalbinėkit, tai yra nedora. Jeigu tai pasakysi, tu iškris iš kolektyvo, nes, sakys, atsirado čia svieto lygintojas. Bet jeigu tu tai padarysi, tave vertins kiti, laikui bėgant, pradės vertinti, nes jie žinos, kad šitas žmogus niekad neapkalba mūsų. O jie tarpusavyje žino, kad jie vienas kitą apkalbinėja. Tai va, toks yra pavyzdys, kada reikia atstovauti dvasinę vertybės, nors yra pavojus prarasti kažkokią tai pripažinimą, garbę, pagarbą iš kitų, gerą atsinešimą. Lygiai taip pat, kai atėjusi Krišnos sąmonė, dažnai nusisuka vadinamieji draugai ar ten artimieji, nes tu pradedi tiesiog gyventi dvasingai, tu Dievą į centrą statai ir Kali Yuga yra tokia užteršta. Jeigu jau tais laikais buvo taip užteršta, tai taip, ten tada jau faktiškai buvo Kali Yugos priešušis. Kali Yuga yra taip užteršta, kad jeigu tu dvasingumą propaguoji, tu prarandi pripažinimą, tu prarandi, tavęs nieks negerbė, tavęs nieks nepripažįsta kaip brandžios asmenybės. Tu esi brandus, jeigu tu esi naglas, jeigu tu esi apsukrus, jeigu tu turtų susikrovęs, jeigu tu turi šlovę, pripažinimą, jeigu tu esi seksualus, arba prasuki biznelį, arba turi įtakas kažkokias tai. Nesvarbu, kiais būdais tu gauni pinigus ar šlovę ar pripažinimą, tu esi kietas. Nes tenkinti jūslės bet kokiais metodais yra cool mūsų visuomenė. Ir kai kažkas pradeda propaguoti religijos principus, jis kaip ir prieštarauja tai visai tom visom vertybėm, kurios pasklidusius yra mūsų visuomenė. Jis dažnai yra nustumiamas. Bet jeigu jis toliau, jis lieka tvirtas savo vertybėse, galų gale Krišna padaro taip viešpats, kad jis yra iškeliamas, jos tos dorybės iškelia ir jis laimi. O tas dvi pamokas galim išmokti. Nepataikauti savo artimiesiams ir nepabijoti prarasti savo taip vadinamos šlovės, garbės, pripažinimo dėl religijos normų. Nepabijot. Hare Krishna.